I'm going to share a couple of things with you this morning. One in particular, a verse out of Jeremiah 12, chapter 12, verse 5, that's been going through my mind all week, and I've read it, I've studied the passage, and something God's been making real to me in this time we find ourselves in, and what I'm seeing in general in the church, and especially here in America, and what I believe God is wanting to help us with during this time, because I believe we're going to be facing greater difficulties, greater trials in the future. I believe God does have greater things for us to do, greater ways He wants to manifest Himself in our lives and through us to others, to the lost. But I think we've been hindered in a lot of ways, more than we understand. And I know for me, during this time we find ourselves in, it's been a time of searching. It's been a time of really re-examining my faith and what my heart is focused on, what my spiritual eye has been focused on. There's so many things on the internet. There's so many prophetic words going forth now of what this is, what God is doing. And I think we need to be careful about those things. I believe in prophecy. I believe God does things and will speak through people. But I also think we need to be careful at all the different things that are out there, that we don't get distracted and lose sight of maybe the simplicity of the time we find ourselves in, and really just what God wants to do. We don't have to figure out everything and what we believe He's doing during this time and why this is happening. Sometimes He doesn't let us in on those things, but I do know He uses them in our lives. That's our promise in Scripture, especially in Romans 8:28, that He uses all things in our lives for those that love God for His purpose. And that's one thing I know He's doing during this time. And so this verse really spoke to me this week. It's an answer to this prophet Jeremiah, who is beginning his ministry, and he's, I guess you could say, complaining a little bit about the situation. And this is what God says to him in verse 5, Jeremiah chapter 12. He says, "If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan?" In other words, what God was saying to the prophet was, Jeremiah, if the smallest evils which you're being exposed to right now are causing these bitter complaints to come up in your heart, how are you going to feel when in your prophetic ministry, Jeremiah, you are going to face some intense opposition? What are you going to do then when you're facing greater enemies that are much more powerful than what you're dealing with right now? If you've sunk under small difficulties, what are you going to do when greater ones come? And then, you know, if in the land of peace, in other words, if in a country now where you're enjoying peace, you're doubting your safety, what's going to happen when the Jordan swells? And what that was a picture of when the Jordan River actually would swell in the land. It would drive all the animals out from the thickets of the Jordan. And there were lions, there were some ravenous beasts that would come out of those thickets, and it would just cause havoc. But it was also talking about the enemies that would come over that land, like that flood, that deluge of water coming out of the Jordan. So you're saying, you know, what's going to happen when that happens? Or how are you going to respond when that happens? And I just want to say to all of us here in America, we are not in the land of persecution yet. We are still in the land of peace. And we really need to learn the things now that God is wanting us to learn. And I believe it's time to let God remove the hindrances in our lives to faith, to remove those sins that so easily ensnare us, and really to start fixing our eyes on Jesus. Because I don't think we understand how much we have been distracted and how much the spirit of this world, the busyness of life, has affected us and is still affecting us during this time. And I believe God is trying to help us so we can face the greater difficulties that will come in future time. So as I was thinking about this verse, I found an article online that really affected me. It was from Open Doors Ministry. It's a ministry about persecuted Christians around the world. And this was an article in October 24th, 2013. So not too long ago. And it was about a young Christian woman in Eritrea, which is in the northeast African country on the Red Sea coast. It borders on Ethiopia, Sudan, and Djibouti. And this woman was a well-known servant of Christ, and many times she was forced to recant her faith, her love for Christ over the years, and she saw many of her fellow Christians even martyred for their faith and remained strong in their faith. But a few years ago, before this time, she attended a secret Bible study at a private residence with about 25 Christians. And as they were studying, security officials invaded the meeting and they arrested everyone there. And they knew that she had been very influential in the church, and they kept her in solitary confinement. And I know we feel a little confined right now, but this was a lot more confined than I think any of us that haven't experienced something like that would understand. But she's in solitary confinement, and she was interrogated, she was tortured, and it was all to get her to deny or recant her faith and to give her names of underground Christians she had been meeting with. But in spite of her suffering, she remained silent, confirming to her interrogators that she would not deny Christ. So the torture went on and on without success. But eventually, they resorted to deception. And an opportunity presented itself when her pastor, who said he had family in the prison, went into the prison to visit prisoners, was also arrested. And they basically told her that her pastor, had denied Christ. And that she should also deny Christ, that the pastor actually said she should deny Christ. And here's what she said. She said, "I don't follow my pastor. I follow Christ, my Lord." And I want to say to the body God has entrusted to me, but really to all believers out there listening, as a pastor, as a shepherd, my heart is for the sheep God has entrusted to me. I'm there for them. I'm there for you guys. But you have to have your own walk with God. You don't know what I'll do in the day of trouble. I would pray and hope that my faith would stand. That's what I'm teaching here today. But, you know, I want to be careful of boasting that, oh, I would never do that. I just want to make sure I'm letting God prepare me now as well. So, you know, when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself as well. But we really have to follow God, not man. And although, again, I'm here for you and we are here to equip the saints and to help you and all that, at some point, you have to have your own walk with God. You have to have your own convictions. That's, I know, our desire, our heart for you all, that you would come into your own walk with God, that you wouldn't be dependent upon us, that you would be dependent on Christ. Because if you're depending on us, I've probably failed you. So my hope would be you're learning to depend on Christ. You're taking what we're giving you and you're going to Christ. You're going to your own secret closet. You're going to your own time of pursuing him and knowing him on your own. Because one day you might need that, like this young woman needed it. All she had now was her own faith. She couldn't rely on the faith of her pastor. Now, when she finally got out, after about a year of being in prison, a group of pastors visited her, and they were shocked by her appearance. Her body was frail due to the substantial weight loss, you know, and all I'll say is I've gained a little weight since my confinement. I know we feel restricted, and I don't even like to compare what we're going through to something like this. I feel like it almost does it an injustice. But I do want us to consider, to maybe think about what others have gone through, not to minimize what we're going through. There are people suffering. I read a story just yesterday online of a man who died alone in the hospital, didn't see his family for a month. It broke my heart, and we should grieve with those who are grieving right now. So I don't want to minimize what we're going through, but we can look at others that have gone before. We can look at others that have also suffered, really, for Christ. This is a health issue we're dealing with. She's suffering for Christ, and learn from it, and learn the secret that they learned on how they endured that. That's what I want to glean from this today. So they see her in this condition, and despite the weakness, they said she looked like a soldier that returned from war victorious. Her joy was very visible and quite overwhelming. And I'll just tell you, I've met people like that when we've traveled to third world countries where they had nothing, where a lot of their life was suffering, but yet they had such a joy that it really was overwhelming, that you thought, where does that come from? I wish I had what they had. But here it is. Here's the secret. Instead of telling these pastors her litany of woes, her anger, her fear that she experienced while in prison, what she said to them was, when I read it, just was like, wow. What she said to them, it was actually a honeymoon with Jesus. And that's it right there. In other words, she found the secret of Jesus only. And that really is the substance of our faith, when we really learn to just live on Jesus. So through her tremendous trial, that's what God brought about, to where she got to the place where she could say about this horrible place she was in that it was a honeymoon with Jesus. And that, man, that's what I want God to get into my heart, that no matter what I go through, as hard as it might be, that I could say, you know what? It was hard, but it was a honeymoon. It was like a honeymoon with Jesus, because I learned things of him in that time I could have never learned. And he got rid of things in my life that were distracting me from seeing him for who he really is. And I really learned in that time that, you know what? He does really satisfy the longing soul. So, you know, with that thought, I want to read this verse to you this morning out of Hebrews 12. Because this is summing up testimony, like we just heard, of other saints that lived this life of faith, that went through things, that learned the secret of endurance by looking at Jesus, by finding Jesus in the midst of their trials. And it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. In other words, many have gone before us. Not just those written about in Hebrews 11, but like this girl we just read about. Let us therefore lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us, you and me, dear one, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How? By looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So faith here, we see, is something that we run like a race. And Paul talks about that. He actually talked about it at the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8. He says, I've fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. All those looking unto Jesus. All those that have their sights on something better. Like those heroes in the chapter 11 of Hebrews, the heroes of faith. They looked to something better. They looked to the reward. And then in 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, don't you know that all who run in a race run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. So all of us that come to Christ are set on that pathway. All of us have a race to run, and we can only do it by fixing our eyes on Jesus. And God understands that, but what we don't understand sometimes is we have those weights, we have those things, those sins that so easily ensnare us, that hinder that race. And it's a time like this, it's a time like now that we're going through. It's like the time this girl spent in prison. God uses that time to remove those hindrances. And those weights really are typical of the cares of this life. And I think before this virus, we were so caught up in the cares of this life, we didn't realize how encumbered we had become in our faith. So this is a good time for us, where God is slowing us down, where maybe we're a little confined at the moment, to maybe look at the weights that we've allowed to encumber our lives. There is a spirit that permeates this world that daily bombards us on a daily basis. 1 John calls it the spirit of this world. It calls it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of this life. So the God of this age is always trying to divert our attention from heaven to earthly things. He's always trying to distract us. And I'm afraid that all those things that have distracted us are some of those things some of us can't wait to get back to when this virus is over. And I really think we need to reevaluate maybe some of the things we have allowed to crowd into our lives, the cares of this life, that are hindering our faith and our running of this race. So many of us are so caught up in this life and the pursuits of this world, we've lost sight of the greatest pursuit of all, which is Jesus. So we're consumed, and we've allowed things to consume our lives and cause us to drift from God. So again, let's allow God to show us what those things are, and those sins that so easily ensnare us. That can be different from all us. It's maybe things that we dealt with before we became a Christian. Sins to which we're exposed, maybe by our profession, our relation to others, our situation in life. Whatever it is, we're exhorted to lay it aside. God wants to use this time, people, to prepare us for something greater. He wants to use this time to remove some of those weights and sins that are decreasing our faith and our endurance. And I believe we're all going to need endurance, more endurance, as the days come forth. There's another story, another saint I want to share with you, who recounts his race of faith. His name was Richard Wurmbrand. He began the Voice of the Martyrs. I still get their magazine today. But this is his testimony. Out of 14 years in jail under the communists in Romania, I spent 3 years alone in a cell 30 feet below ground. Now, when I read that, I shudder inside because I don't like tight places. And just the thought of that makes me very uncomfortable. He never saw the sun, the moon, the stars, flowers, or snow. He never saw another man except the guards and interrogators who beat and tortured him. He says, I seldom heard a noise in that prison. The guards had felt-soled shoes, and I did not hear their approach. I had no Bible, nor any other book. I had no paper on which to write my thoughts. The only things we were expected to write were statements accusing ourselves and others. During that time, I rarely slept at night. I slept in the daytime. Every night, I passed the hours in spiritual exercises and prayer. Every night, I composed a sermon and delivered it to an invisible crowd. That's how he kept his sanity. Now he says this. Even now, tens of thousands of Christians are in prison, tortured, drugged, put in straitjackets, kept in solitary cells, as I have been. Many of them had similar reactions to mine. There were times when I was near apostasy. Happily, just on one of those worst days, I was not tortured. Probably I would have cracked. The tortures happened only after I had overcome despair. So there was a fight there. It wasn't all bliss. He had to fight his fight of faith. He had to let God remove the hindrances in his life so that he can endure that situation he was in. And Jesus, in his compassion, enters into our sufferings. He became a carpenter in a poor country. He became part of a people who were oppressed. And this is what Richard Wurmbrand said. You can't have compassion, which means suffering together, unless you know the state of heart of those who are suffering. Consider him and consider others. Put yourself in their situation. Remember them, Hebrews 13:3 says. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. So he says in one of his books, Richard Wurmbrand, imagine yourself in the shoes of these people that found themselves in solitary confinement. Imagine yourself blindfolded as we prisoners were. Imagine yourself going down with me into the subterranean prison. Hear the cell door shut behind you. You're alone. All the noise has ceased. Your only air supply comes to you through a pipe. If you feel the impulse to scream at the thought of being confined in such a place, just scream. The guards will soon put you in a straitjacket, but King Jesus will greatly desire you. And if you stay here as long as he has ordained for you, he will have you. So, people, real freedom doesn't depend on our external circumstances. There's a wonderful liberty which the children of God partake, even when we find ourselves in straitened circumstances or a confined place. And I know we feel that way right now, but I do believe, again, that God is trying to help us. He's trying to get rid of those things that have distracted us, that have dimmed our sight of him, that have taken away the joy that somehow these saints found in extraordinary circumstances, to where that girl could say it was a honeymoon with Jesus. So I want to read these verses to you again in Jeremiah 12, verse 5. If you've run with the footmen and they've wearied you, then how will you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? Again, people, I don't say this to scare anyone or make bold proclamations or anything, but I do believe we are going to face tougher times. And my concern is that maybe some of us aren't learning what we need to learn during this time. And I just want to urge you, brother and sister, allow God to remove those weights. Allow God during this time to show you the things in your life that are hindering your faith, your sight of Jesus. Whether it's the cares of this life, whether it's sins that are still you're hanging on to or you're hanging on to, let God show you those things during this time and surrender it to Him. Reevaluate your life during this time, so that you can find what these saints found, so that when we do come into tougher times or greater time of tribulation and suffering, God's going to be there in a way that we need Him, and we'll endure to the end, and we'll also be a blessing and a light to those around us. I know many of these prisoners were able to convert guards because of their testimonies, because of the light that shined from them in that darkness, and I know that's what God wants to do through us, but we've been so distracted. We've lost sight of the greatest treasure there is, Jesus. So I want to encourage you during this time to allow God to do that in your heart, to root those things out. But I also want to remember those that are chained today. I want to remember those that are suffering around the world. And I'd like to pray for them as we're closing today, but I also want to pray for us, for the church, that God will refine our faith here in America, that God will help us and prepare us for the times that we will come into one day, so that we can run our races, our individual races, and have a sight of Jesus that we're going to need in the days to come. So I'm going to ask my wife to close us in prayer and just maybe pray for those two things.
Lord, we do thank you for this word today, Lord, that is from heaven. Lord, we thank you for the saints that have gone before us, the saints that are right now suffering in their faith for what they believe in Jesus and what he did on the cross, Lord. We pray that you would come to them today, Lord, and strengthen them, Lord, in the inner man by your Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray that you would encourage their hearts when they're discouraged, Lord. You know they have to have a cry inside saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. And Lord, we do pray that you would come to them in a very powerful and precious way, like we heard these two testimonies, that it was a honeymoon. And I know Richard Wurmbrand said his cell would be such as jewels were shining all around him, and it was Jesus that was with him in that cell, Lord. And I pray that you would just minister to your saints that are suffering for the gospel today in that way, that they would know that they're not alone, that they would know that you're with them, that you would give them the grace and the strength to persevere, to endure to the end. God, we pray that blessing over them today and for their families as well that are wondering if their loved ones are still alive. God, we pray that you would come to them, speak to them through your word, and let the Holy Spirit bring comfort to them during this time, Lord, as they face the unknown every day. Some of them for years, they've been facing the unknown, whether their family's still alive. God, just minister to them and meet their need as you see it today, Lord. And for us, Lord, that are going through this pandemic, Father, I thank you for slowing us down through this trial. Lord, I keep remembering the hamster on the hamster wheel that we showed at the church, that many of our lives were like that, God, but you are making us to be still and to just be restored, be refreshed, be renewed, return to our first love. Lord, you're doing a work in your bride right now. And I pray that we would just count it all joy and not murmur and complain or look to get out of the fetters, Lord, or the restraint that you are allowing to come to us through our governing officials, Lord. Thank you. You know what we need, all of us. You know what we need to make us desperate for you. You know what we need to keep us needy for you. You know what we need to turn our hearts back to you. You know what we need, yes, so we God. Would come to true repentance, yes, true God. Brokenness
you,
over
you,
all of the things that we run after and we still love in our heart more than you, Lord. So I thank you for this time, Lord. Yes, I thank you that you know the right time to say it's enough, no more. You are released yes, God. Now.
Thank
God,
you,
help
Lord.
Us to be patient, to wait on you. I pray that, God, help us
thank
to
you,
love
Lord.
Being shut in with you during this time.
Yes, God.
To not see it as a negative thing, but it's positive. It's
thank
a
you,
positive
Lord.
Thing. You're preparing us.
Yes,
you're
God.
Wanting to give yourself to us in such a way that we are going to need
thank
you
Lord.
In the days ahead.
Yes, God.
So I pray that you would just continue to help all of us just to settle down inside. Help all of us, Lord, just to be still, to know your peace in the midst of this storm. God, to surrender control, to surrender wanting to know, to surrender the rebellion that's in the heart of man, Lord, of just wanting to get out from under any kind of authority speaking into our lives. God, help us all. Just to come down
thank
out
you,
of pride and to just wave that white flag
yes,
and
God.
Say with meaning behind it, it is well with my soul.
Yes, Lord.
What we sang, it is well with
yes,
my
God.
Soul. You are the sovereign one and you are in control and you know what you're doing. And we
yes,
trust
God.
You, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We trust you because you
yes,
have
God.
Never failed your people. We see that from the beginning of time. You have always been faithful to your people. And I pray that you would reveal yourself in a fresh
yes,
new way to each and every one of us
yes,
in the
Lord.
Way we're going to need to know you in the days ahead.
Yes, God.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
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 Amen. God bless you guys. And again, I just encourage you, look unto Jesus and remember those that have gone before us. Remember those that are suffering today, not just around the world, but here, families and so many that are suffering from this virus. Our prayers are with everyone today. So we thank you, we love you, and we just pray God's blessing upon each one of you.